I can say go Ducks, right?
Go Ducks.
Okay. Good evening, and want to welcome folks here. My name is Sid Lykin. I'm the current chair of the Lane County Board of Commissioners. And before we get started, I just want to say thank you to Mayor Pudwell, the Coburg City Council, of course, Petra, the city administrator, for hosting this this meeting here tonight. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. So at this time, I will call the Lane County Board of Commissioners meeting to order. We do not have our name plates here tonight, but all five of the Board of Commissioners are here tonight. So, Mayor?
Good evening. I would like to now call the Coburg City Council meeting to order. And we need to do a quorum call. Can you do the county commissioners or not?
We don't need that.
You don't need that?
No. We don't need to know who the commissioners
are. But actually,
that's a great idea.
We probably dispense with the quorum call in the city council because they are also all here tonight. So we have a quorum on both sides.
Okay.
So if we could all rise for our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now that our gymnastics is over.
Well, this is a little bit different meeting, and even though we're here at Coburg tonight, the Lane County Board will be taking the lead on this meeting, and I think afterwards, potentially the city may be engaged in a public vote as well. So, but the purpose of tonight's hearing is to consider a request by Matern Industries North America to apply to the State of Oregon Business Development Department for a 15-year tax exemption under Oregon's Strategic Investment Program, better known as the SIP. This action by Matern Industries North America must be jointly approved by Lane County Board of Commissioners and Coburg City Council. The Coburg City Council may choose to take action after tonight's public hearing. The Lane County Board of Commissioners will not vote tonight, however. They will take action on our August 20th, 2013 meeting during our regular session. And what I'm going to do is going to announce the order of presentations that will be presented tonight. First of all, we have John George, the Vice President of Manufacturing and Matern Industries in North America. We want to invite a few words by Coburg's Mayor Pudwell. And then we will hear also from John Lively, and he will present the Strategic Investment Program. And John works for Lane County. Also, I just want to remind folks, if I think there's sign-up sheets, and hopefully you've had a chance. Okay, right back here. So those of you who are interested in testifying tonight, if you'd please sign up. And what we'll do is when we're ready to open the public hearing, we'll take just how the order of how you signed up. What I'm going to ask is you will state your name, your address, and I'm going to limit you to 3 minutes, 3 minutes or less. And so we would appreciate that as well. So at this time, we'd like to welcome John George, Vice President of Manufacturing for Matern Industries North America. So. Mr. George, please.
Well, thanks for having me. Going over here. You can tell I'm really polished at this. So. And for those of you that are back here, I'm not trying to be rude, I'm trying to find a way to turn here. I'm going to kind of go through a written thing just so I don't leave anything out
nope,
for everybody.
No, that's fine.
And I did bring in, as my parents always told me, show and tell works best to get the point across. These are for anybody that wants them. I'm going to leave them here, and you're welcome to take them home. Yourself. So anyway, Matern's roots are literally in the apple orchards in France. And they date back to the 1880s when they were doing fruit jams and jellies and those types of products. Matern specializes in processing these fruits and markets them under Matern. And for those of you who've actually been into France and your Pompots, that's a similar type of packaging and style. And now we do the Go-Go Squeeze brands here in the United States, Canada, and we'll do it in a co-branded effort down in Mexico as well. Go-Go Squeeze is the American sister brand of Pompots. I'm going to go over redundant here. Thank you for my PR people. Which was launched in 1998 and is part of what we're calling Matern North America. Our global company is Group Malm, so it's the European version of Matern. We are headquartered in New York City. And the way to look at this is Pomme Pot, it grew in the major fruit snack brand in France, currently selling about 2 billion pouches is where they're at right now. Included a very large bump of getting into the McDonald's Happy Meals in France. Similar growth is now true for what we're doing here in the U.S. With Go-Go Squeeze. Since we launched in June of 2008 with Go-Go Squeeze, distribution has grown to about 40,000 supermarkets. So it's been really nice over the pretty short haul we've been in. That includes supermarkets, convenience stores, children's retailers. I'm not going to read through the whole list that they gave me here, because I will be here until breakfast. But overall, it looks like we're making about $100 million annual retail sales and with continued growth. We've also started building relationships with some airways, like JetBlue. I believe we're on Alaska Airlines out here, and one of the kind of the combination meals where you can get crackers and things like that. My engineer told me to try to buy one on the airplane. And so we're trying to look to expand our availability for families on the go, give them options that are healthy for their children and for the adults too. And we also have a real cool product launching now that you may see if you go to Target. That's where we're initially launching. It's called Fast Fruits. That has really unique combinations like apple, pomegranate, and raspberry. It's a nice flavor profile, a little less sweet. If you're kind of trying to get away from the applesauce as a term generic. For the first 3 years in North America, our production remained in France. We wanted to test the market to make sure it was the right thing to put in an investment here. 2011, realizing that we had a very good and strong viable market, Matern began domestic production for the first time through a partnership with a fruit co-op in Michigan called Cherry Growers. And we basically have leased property with them, have a building on premises, and they supply us fruits and we manufacture, and we have a kind of a synergistic relationship. It worked very nice for them, nice for the community, and nice for ourselves as well. I've lost my place on the paper. Like I said, I'm not really good at this. So the thing that I was happy about coming from upstate New York myself, which has a similar kind of environment to what you folks have here, kind of that mix between kind of a city with the farming communities and sport areas. It was nice to see, going into Michigan, the opportunity to bring some jobs. Since we started there, we brought over 120 jobs. We've done it a year and a half earlier than we originally anticipated. We moved up our time to install the lines, completely fill out the plant, and so again, we're about a year and a half ahead of what our original commitments were. We approached the state of Michigan and those communities with similar discussions. So it's been good. It's good for them. It's good for us. It's a nice partnering, if you will. The thing for us there is Michigan, if you're kind of watching now with Detroit and the problems we're having, you go back 2 or 3 years, it was even worse when you go upstate. So it's been a very nice thing with the job creation for Michigan. The bulk of my job to date has been getting that particular facility online with all the continued operations and the new lines, all the additional people getting trained in to make sure they're doing what we need to do effectively and efficiently, and keep it running that way. So I've been a little busy for the last couple months. And now I'm happy to say that I've been tasked with the same task, if you will, out here in the Northwest for a facility that will be as big, actually a little bit larger than what we're looking to do in Michigan. That's why I'm here today, and why I've been in communication with a lot of the folks that I see in the room around me. They've been very helpful in helping me understand the marketplace, and we've been exchanging various ideas on how to best do these type of partnering. I find it it's nice. That's the best word I can use. To be in this type of role, you want to find people that can give you the right information, we can have good discussions, and do what's right for your community, as well as help me with what I need to do for my business as well. So really, if you look at it, our three qualifiers that we're looking for in general were, one, we're looking for access to the qualified fruits, and that is apples. Applesauce really wouldn't be apples, so apples, I guess. So we're looking for, you know, your basic apples, but we're also looking, we're also looking for organics. We do organic products as well, and that's one of the big pushes we'll be doing with any expansion we do in the Northwest, is to actually begin to use organic apples to generate our own purees. Currently, we do it more from a aseptic puree base. This gives us something new to add to the mix, make a more holistic product, if you will. Secondly, skilled workforce. We have equipment and we have product that we take a great deal of pride in. We want to make sure that the people that are working on the products here, that frankly, we feed to our children's. Our children are going to be food safe, high quality, and consistent in that fashion. And to do that, you have to have an engaged, intelligent, good workforce. So that's been the second criteria we've been looking for. The last one, and I had a nice conversation with some of the folks within the government agencies out here, I'm looking for a partner. I'm not looking for a place where it's one-sided. I'm looking for a place that we can exchange the right things that are good for and important for a community. We can meet our business needs at the same timetable. So that's kind of why I'm here. We're hopeful that we can find it here, and hopefully you're gonna agree that it meets your needs as well. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So at this time, I would like to invite Mayor Pudwell to make some comments as well on behalf of the City of Coburg. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chairman Lightman. I just wanted to provide a bit of context, if you will, for the detailed presentation or regarding the SIP program that Mr. Lively will be presenting. It's important, I think, that we all understand where we're coming from and where we're going. This project has been ongoing for a number of months. There's been a lot of people been involved, both at the county, the state, the county, the developer, the city. A number of staff people, a number of professionals have been involved in this process in terms of assessing what is really required and needed going forward. Obviously, being a food processor, you put the mass together, the odds of them putting a material impact on Coburg's infrastructure is high, and so we have been looking at that and looking at ways to make sure that Coburg is in a position to absorb the impact and to actually then thereby receive the mutual benefits from that. So there's been a considerable amount of effort involved in that, but that's an ongoing effort. I just want everybody to know that we're not in a position to provide details for that. But those will be forthcoming as time goes by, and there's an awful lot of effort going into that part. The other thing I wanted to mention was that this is obviously from the benefit standpoint for Coburg, one of the key things that Matern does in terms of a volume for their impact on our wastewater system is it does act like more users. And the good news is, from a Coburg standpoint, as we've already mentioned many, many times, is the more users we have, the cheaper our system becomes. And so we also look for some downward pressure on the rates as their system comes online. And that's one of the benefits that we should see from a Coburg citizen standpoint. Again, we don't have numbers. We don't really know. But that is the direction we believe that things would be heading. We'll be in a position to describe the benefits from the SIP program as we go through that. We can discuss that more. But I also wanted to add that this is not just a Coburg thing. This is the county is making a strategic investment in this in terms of bringing food processing to the Lane County. The county commissioners have been very gracious in terms of their financial support and staff support for this project. They've really stepped up. It's also important to the state of Oregon. Oregon generates a huge amount of food production, and we need to be we grow it, we might as well produce it and ship it to market from here as well. And so I just wanted everybody in Coburg to have a bigger context to make sure that this is not, you know, when they're thinking that this isn't just a Coburg thing, this is actually something that benefits our county as well as our state. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, appreciate it. So at this time, I would like to invite John Lively, and John is just basically new to our staff. But he's very experienced, though, when it comes to economic development. And John is our Lane County Economic Development Specialist, and he'll deliver a presentation on Strategic Investment Program, or the SIP. So, John,
thank you,
welcome.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor, and all you elected officials. 2 weeks on the job, and here I am. I'll tell you, I'm not the expert on this particular program. I'll explain it. And if there are other questions, Art Fish, who works for the state, has done this for a long time, he can make sure he gets them correct. But I'll try to make sure as I go through this that it's understandable and on point. So we're here tonight to talk about Matern applying through the state for the Strategic Investment Program, and what it requires is both for Lane County and the City of Coburg to agree for that application, so to endorse the application. So the Strategic Investment Program, or SIP, so I'll try to use SIP, but this is Strategic Investment Program, was enacted in 1993 and operates statewide. To date, there's been no businesses or use of the SIP in Lane County, but it's been used throughout the state. And initially, when it was really enacted for semiconductors and some of the very large technology companies we read about. But in the interim, they decided to also be able to use it for rural, for urban Oregon, and so that's where the application would be able to apply here. The emphasis is for strategic. So it's for large investments versus some of the other things, the programs that have in place that are, the investments aren't so large. So, talk louder, okay. I probably can't.
People in the hallway can't
hear. Oh, sorry. Okay, so what it does, it applies to new investment of at least $25 million. So the threshold to qualify for the Strategic Investment Program is a $25 million investment. And that investment, and we're talking about the land, the building, and equipment in that order to add up to it. But so the threshold, the minimum is a $25 million investment to qualify. And again, it requires both the city and the county to agree to the application. Property taxes are paid. So on the first $25 million, so there's $25 million of value, property taxes will be paid on that $25 million of value. Currently, my understanding, the facility out there is somewhere around $11 million, so we're talking about a substantial investment above what's currently on the tax rolls once this is completed. And the real market value, $25 million, so that's what's important in that, and it's defined, again, the rural area of which this is the SIP. So the other important thing about the $25 million is, just like all other property that's on the tax rolls, is that $25 million will increase in value 3% each year per state tax laws. And so you start off with the $25 million, and then the value keeps going up 3% every year, so the increased amount of money that it will generate goes up. So $25 million goes into tax rolls. Everything above that investment, if they apply for and are successful to get approved for a strategic investment plan, will be exempt from taxes, but in lieu of the taxes. So they don't have to pay the property taxes, but there's still a requirement for revenue to the communities in that. And so the first of those is called a community service fee. So how the community service fee works is they'll pay annual payments, and the annual payments will be based on equal to or lesser than 25% of the tax savings. So they either make a payment annually that's 25% of the tax savings, or $500,000 for rural participants. So it's equal to or lesser than. So that's the figure in which those community service fees will be paid. And those fees then, as they're paid annually, will be divided among taxing districts. And in that case here in Coburg, the taxing districts besides the city and Lane County will be the fire district, which is subject to the taxes. And then the amount that each district will receive is something that will be negotiated amongst the parties. And any final agreement on those negotiations, that will be approved by all the parties before it's contacted. In the case of Lane County has a requirement different than some counties. So in Lane County, they also require the city to be a party of the strategic investment. In some counties, that's not necessarily a requirement, but Lane County has a requirement that the city is a partner, because the county is ultimately the one responsible. So some other other requirements, issues with the SIP. So this is interesting. I'm going to be careful how I say this, because people are going to say, what did you say? So there's no statutory employment-related requirements. So in enterprise zones and in some of the other requirements, there's an employment-related requirement that's part of it. In the strategic investment program, there's not. Again, we're talking about large investments. And in some cases, some of those large investments don't generate a lot of jobs, but they're huge amounts of investments. In this case, we all know this investment's going to generate jobs, and those jobs are part of the calculations. But from a standpoint of statutorily, that's not one of the core requirements of this program, so it's important for people to understand that. Once Matern submits the Business Oregon, they'll submit to Business Oregon for final determination by the Oregon Business Development Department. And so they're the ones that will approve or disapprove, and they'll have the oversight role going forward to make sure that the approval is complied with. The state application determines what will be new in developing the investment. So the date established when the application is submitted. Looking at Art to make sure, yes. The date when the application is submitted starts the counting for the new investment. So whatever the value is at that point, anything above that counts towards and gets you up to the $25 million. So the community service fee. This fee, as I said, will be split between the city, the county, and special service districts. Those authorities will have 3 months. So we have 3 months to execute an agreement after the submission word. And if for some reason you can't, and I don't think that would be the case, but if some reason you can't, then the state would be required to set some kind of formula. But again, I think that's going to be pretty easy. Typically, the parties agree to distribute the fee based on a formula relative to current established taxes. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but that's pretty typical in these types of things. Now, besides the community service fee, there's one other opportunity for revenue back to the community in these taxing districts, and that's called gain share. So although the SIP offers fast local return to the tax base, which it does, unlike the inquiry zone, it can also generate considerable state tax revenue from Oregon personal income taxes based on the actual employment by return. So here's where the employment becomes important in the number of jobs. A 2007 law impacts all projects that began the 15-year exemption period after 2008. So this is in effect now. So this project will be impacted by this. I will couch it though in saying that currently the law is scheduled to expire in 2019, unless the legislature extends it. I would think they might, but we won't go there. But regardless, through 2019 you'll have gain shares. And how gain share works is they'll take the number of employees that the wages paid, the state taxes that those employees pay, the state income taxes, and 50%. So 50% of the state income taxes paid by the employees will come back to the communities, to the taxing districts, and to be distributed to. So community fee and then the gain share are the two that you'll get during the 15 years worth of exemptions. So what does this mean? So tonight the question again is, do the elected officials agree to support the company's application? If the majority votes, then the applications can go forward. So let's just talk a little bit about how, what we talked about from the standpoint of the sharing of the revenue and what that means to the city, the county, and the fire district. So the current tax rates for the city of Coburg, 3.249, approximately Coburg Rural Fire Protection District 1.15 and Lane County 1.10. What that means, if we use those figures, percentages of what your current tax rate is, and apply them back, then of those revenues to be shared, or the gain share to be shared, the city of Coburg is about 59% of whatever those are on an annual basis. The fire department would get about 21%, and Lane County would get 20%. So the important thing to remember here is during those 15 years, as they increase their investments and other things are going on there, those the community fee and those gain shares will be coming back to the community. So I think that's the highlights of the program, unless somebody happens to ask questions.
So actually what I was going to do, John, if you don't mind, so if you have questions, why don't you write them down, and then I think what we'd like to do maybe is go through the public testimony. We have Mr. Lively here, have Mr. Fish here as well from the state, who can also answer specific questions on the SIP as well. So, because I know there's several folks here that I think are signed up that wish to speak, and so why don't we do that first? So if you have questions, you know, keep those ready to go, and then after the public testimony, then I think we can ask the staff questions. Mayor, are you good with that? All right.
We need to open the public.
So at this time, the Lane County Board of Commissioners will open the public hearing. And so I think, Mr. Mayor, looks like I will invite the public testimony. Does the Mayor Pudwell need to open on behalf of Coburg?
So on behalf of the city of Coburg, I also open the public hearing.
Okay, so we have some folks signed up, and if I mess up your name, my apologies in advance. I'm really good at that. So first we have, looks like I'm going to mess it up right off the bat. Chris? Thank you. And then I have Gary Wildish on deck. So Chris, if you want to come forward, and if you could state your name and address for the record, and then if you could limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, please.
All right. Good evening. My name is Chris Serbaugh. I live at 91125 North Diamond Street in Coburg. First of all, let me say that I think that Matern would be a dynamite partner for Coburg. They have great products, especially with leaning towards organics. It's even better. My only question about, and this is directed for Matern, is that I had a friend who used to live in California by a big treetop apple juice plant, and there were big piles of squeezed apples outside. They probably couldn't do it in California now anyway anymore, but how does Matern handle the waste products, and is there any smells emitted? Let's put it that way. We're kind of sensitive because we have a truck stop with effluent from that in the air.
So what we'll do, if you would, and I think we'll obviously, Mr. Arnold will have that question as well as staff, and I think those are questions that'll be answered eventually. But so if you want to continue your public, just because the public testimony, that's really what this is about today. So if you have other issues you want to include, then that's great.
No, I think it'd be a terrific fit for Coburg.
Okay.
I'm really happy about it, and I hope it flies. Gentlemen, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Next we have Gary Wildish, and then we have Dave Hauser on deck.
I'm Gary Wildish. I live at 2424 Quince in the Santa Clara area. I was born in Lane County, so I've been here a while. I really hope that you can help support this application. I know the county is not flush with money, and that's something that we've all dealt with for a long, long time, and we're a long ways from getting to the final solution there. But I think that if you were to look at this and see what the appraised value of this particular piece of property is, and recognize what the appraised value of that piece of property would be if this facility was installed on that particular location, it looks to me like you're looking at about a 2.25 times increase in the tax base on that particular piece of property. That's pretty exciting to me. But really more exciting to me is that I spent my whole life in the construction industry, and for the last 5 years, our industry in this area has been down over 40%. To think about a few trade sector jobs coming to our community, to our county, that is exciting. And I really encourage you to consider that. But look at a cash flow on this particular project, what the monies that generated today versus the monies that you could reasonably project that'll be projected in the future. I think that would be a real good answer to help you get more excited. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So next we have Dave Hauser and Steve Lee on deck.
Thanks. Dave Hauser, 2168 Elkhorn Drive in Eugene, here tonight representing the Eugene Chamber. Commissioners and council members, thanks for the opportunity to address this really great economic opportunity for our region. So if the purpose is to solicit feedback about whether to proceed to help bring this project to our region, I think from our point of view, we really hope the answer is yes. And there are, I think, at least three fundamental reasons why we want to proceed as a region. One, probably don't need to tell you, we need the jobs. We lost nearly 17,000 jobs between 2007 and 2012. That's more than the combined populations of Cottage Grove and Junction City. And a lot of those jobs, nearly half of them, were in traded sector manufacturing jobs. There are literally sectors of the manufacturing economy in our region that don't exist anymore. So the ability to create up to 250 trade sector jobs in our economy is really important. It supports a lot of small businesses throughout the region, not just here in Coburg. Second, we need more economic momentum. Things have gotten a little better since 2012, but we need more economic development wins for our region. Energy attracts energy. We have a solid cluster of food manufacturers here in our region. We have some great entrepreneurial endeavors in the food cluster, and a project like this can really advance our reputation as a region for food processing and the food cluster, and make things better for everybody in that industry. Incentives sometimes are fundamental to jobs and momentum. I've worked in economic development for nearly three decades, and my experience suggests that projects like this just don't come along every day. And when they do, it's really important that we're able to capitalize, and programs such as the SIP exist for that purpose. The investment, the tax base, the jobs created here, in my opinion, are proportionate to the public support. And it certainly appears, based on what we're learning tonight, that it's a well thought out program that creates a win-win. Tax revenues immediately while creating much needed jobs for the citizens in our region. So I'll just conclude where I started. We need jobs, and as much as we'd like to, we can't just wish for new opportunities and hope they exist. When opportunities come along, we need to take advantage of them, and I really strongly encourage you to do that in this case, because it sounds like a great project for the entire region. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. So next we have Steve Lee and Judy Volta on deck.
I'd like to give everyone a little bit of update of how Monaco's doing. My name's Steve Lee. My wife, Sally, and I, we own Monaco, some of it now. I was here about a year ago. I live in Eugene. I was born and raised. I'm a Sacred Heart baby. First winter, it was 4% occupied. It was pretty lonely down there and run down. And we've kind of, a lot of people thought my wife and I were pretty crazy to take this thing. But you don't know, we built this for Monaco, and we know what it's made of, and the town, and the problems, the smells, the noises and things. And I tell you, a couple weeks ago, we were down at the end of the street, the old Pape building, and Hamilton Construction, that builds the I-5 bridges, is located down there now. And there was about 250 people out in the grass having a picnic, like in the Monaco days, out back with the volleyball things. And they were enjoying the grass and the trees and having a good time. And the employees are all happy because they were back in the dusty old place for 44 years behind Roseboro. And they thought this was a good enough place to move their offices and a little of their storage, but basically wanted to come to Coburg. We have Coach Glasses in the main office now that has about 150 people. They've added about 30 since coming here, because now, being on I-5, it's become a distribution center for glass, because they have one in Arizona, Texas, and Florida. And so they're remodeling the warehouse and putting loading docks soon and getting ready to add. And you see people during the day, when I was way over here, people putting their tennis shoes on to go. They know a mile and a half around the outside now, and they come in about 3 in the morning for a call center, and they stay till about 8 at night for a call center to take care of the United States out of here. So it's growing. We have the service center. Navistar recently sold their holdings to Fleetwood. Fleetwood has agreed to stay, and so if you look, it's like the old days. You drive down, there's motorhomes, there's people. The cafe at the truck stop's full, the Andersons are happy, we're happy. You know, it's bringing lots of business to things. Chiefs is now being asked, they're gonna learn catering. They're gonna have to come over and be able to help, because they don't have enough room, so they said they'd start bringing stuff over to our facilities to help. I can only say that, you know, from a tax thing, I look back, again, I know Monaco, I think, as well as I've been in this room. At the peak, it was about $17 million. Was there when they were full of everything in there. On the downside, it's being depreciated. It's down right now to about $10.5 million. Anybody wants to come over, you're welcome. The building is about gutted. We have no commitments, but if everybody we wanted, all especially if cranes, paint booths have no value to anyone. So in their 2 weeks, you see the dust collector's gone, it becomes a giant, flexible warehouse for people. My wife and I have had inquiries that would have been just moving from West Eugene, maybe just a warehouse facility, but we're really trying to have new jobs that will help. My office is on site. The man that mentioned about smells, you know, I'm there for the next 5 years too, and I think I'm as hard as anybody. That if Matern's the one, John George and I'll arm wrestle, and we'll figure out, because my phone number's in the Eugene phone book today. If you want to call, it's Steve and Sally Lee, and it's always been there and always will be. So I'm going to be responsible for what's here in Coburg. My office is there for 5 years. That's my term there. After that, I won't sit, but I just hope that you'll look at this, that I think it's a really good deal, the community and all of us. It's a really nice, clean industry, and it fit good with APAL and everybody that's coming online. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Judy Volta and then Chuck Solon on deck.
My name is Judy Volta. My address is 32647 East Maple Street in Coburg. Thank you for coming. I feel a little bit like George Gobel, when he said he was, a brown shoe in the middle of all these big, high business people. But anyway, for over 12 years, it was my privilege to serve in an elected capacity here as councilman and mayor. And our goal was then, and I think it remains today, to ensure that our little city is stable, prosperous, and making the best use of our resources. And when Monaco Navistar left town, it was a sad day. They left a beautiful facility, and they left a regional workforce in need of family wage jobs. They left a city scratching their head, not sure what we would really be doing. But it appears that we have an excellent opportunity before us. We have a beautiful facility, and thank you, Steve, for your work in bringing that about again. We have skilled and prepared city staff. We're building the critical infrastructure. It only took us 45 years. And we have a regional workforce that's waiting for the chance to show their stuff. And it appears we have the regional cooperation. I just want to say thank you to the commissioners for your willingness to consider this. And the cooperation between the local, the county, and the state entities that can make things like this happen. So I'm sure there's challenges to work through. There always are, but we're used to that. And we have willingness and we have creative minds and heart to bring good things to our city's future. So it's on that basis that I strongly recommend to you, our council, that you adopt this proposal tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the final person I've signed up is Chuck Solon.
Hi, I'm Chuck Solon. I live at 32730 East Mill. And I'm following in Judy's footsteps. Prior to Judy, I was on city council and was the mayor out here and fought vigorously to try to bring a wastewater treatment program to Coburg, and I'm excited that it's finally come, and I want to thank all of you on council. But with that history, being on council and being the mayor, I applaud this effort. I don't see anything in this proposal, but I was elected mayor because the current mayor was recalled over the enterprise zone that brought Monaco in originally. So I want to caution you as the city council that you be transparent, that the point that Chris brought up I think is very, very valid. You don't want to have citizens in front of you in every council meeting complaining about air emissions, noise emissions, and water emissions. So there's a lot about this proposal that you're asking input on tonight that we don't have any information on. So I want it to go forward. I think it sounds like an excellent project for the city of Goldberg, but please look at all the questions that your neighbors are gonna raise when in the middle of the night, suddenly their windows are rattling or they've got emissions coming through their bedroom windows that are making them sick. So make damn sure you follow that. Don't just get excited about jobs and money, because remember, this is our community that we all love, and we love the way Coburg feels and how it is. And so please be cautious in how you proceed here, but please proceed.
and don't give away our wastewater treatment plant. if they need the capacity, I hope they pay for their share, just like every one of us as a citizen in Colberg is paying through the nose for our share, okay? Thank you very much for all the hard work you're doing.
Thank you very much. So that concludes of who I have signed up. So I want to make sure that if anybody else is wishing to speak, you get your chance. If you want to come forward and if you want to state your name and address, please.
Karen Cholowinski, K-A-R-R-E-N, last name C-H-O-L-E-W-I-N-S-K-I. Live at 90707 Funk Road, and I'm representing the Green Family Trust. I like Chuck, have a lot of questions and really caution this move forward. I feel like we've walked into this situation, and the community has too, without having been able to ask any questions. And I think it's really important that the citizens, like myself, whose wells the city are on our property, that they have the opportunity to ask these questions before going forward. I completely endorse economic development for our county. I really believe it's important. But I feel like tonight that there's just a lot of things, and maybe this isn't the place, and maybe it's not the time that comes after this is approved. But I think there's some questions that remain unanswered. And I just wanted to state for the record that Mayor Pudwell mentioned the sewer system, but I come from the water side. And we've been in situations with the city of Colberg before over water, and so have the residents in my community where I live. And so I just want to caution you too that your infrastructure probably will not support food processing. And I can say that because I used to grow for AgriPac, and the Metropolitan Wastewater Project, part of that was put in place in the city of Eugene to help support the effluent that was coming out of the AgriPac cannery in Eugene. So thank you, and I wish you the best.
Great, thank you very much. Anybody else? One once, twice, okay. So that concludes the public hearing. And so at this time we'll close the public hearing. And I think to your question that to Karen that you just testified here, really the purpose of this meeting is about the Strategic Investment Program, and so I think that maybe at a later time you'll probably have that opportunity to come before the city. So we have some questions, I know. So Petra and our city administrator Coburn.
Well, I was just going to say, like the city council, to also close.
Oh, thank you. My apologies.
Yes, on behalf of the city of Coburn, I will also now close the public hearing so we can move forward with our discussion.
Thank you very much. So we did have, I know Commissioner Sorensen had his hand raised for questions, so if there's other questions, I'll do the best I can to recognize you. So, Commissioner?
The folks from Maturin could just answer some of the questions that were kind of posed by the public hearing and by people that testified, and I guess I'll just go over those briefly, which would be things like, how much money will be invested, how many jobs will be created, what will the people be paid, will there be any problems with water coming into the project, how much water will be needed, how much effluent will go out, will there be problems associated with the processing that the neighbors might experience, and just anything else you might add that would answer those kinds of questions.
A long list.
Yeah. That's all. Just that.
Well, I'm going to go in reverse a little bit on the, and this time I'm going to get over here, because I really felt like I was standing in your way before. On the question of the apples, the apple waste, and other type of issues, Maturin is a sustainable focused company. If you go on our website, you'll see we recycle our film, the pouches. If you buy the product or you get the product, take those home and mail us back the pouches, and they'll recycle them. That's to the extent that we're going with that. When it comes to the apple waste, what we do in Michigan, and it will be similar here, is we pull that stuff out. We have partnered with local farmers, which we would do similar here. as well as I believe there's some biofuel opportunities are coming in here, but it would not be left sitting around because frankly, I don't like to have the smell of 3-day-old apples coming in my windows either when I'm trying to work. So it's, and I understand that. I've been in the food industry for about 25 years, and that is a perpetual problem in food industries. If you don't manage your streams, your waste streams outside of your building, it can be a problem. So we have systems in place already, which again, we kind of a little premature to go down the well as far as how much we're going to deal with those right now, but we will present a little bit more information as we go forward in the design elements. Okay. What's the next question? Water.
Maybe the money in terms of the investment, size of investment.
Yeah, from a monetary standpoint, can't go into the complete details because we're still in the design phase, but I will say that we are investing extensively in equipment. We will be putting in about 150% capacity what we have in Michigan, and that is a production line. So you'll be looking at about 12 production lines. These are equipments that are coming from all over Europe, not the cheapest place to buy your toys. So we'll be bringing in extensive amounts. We will be well in excess of the 25 million hurdle and then some. It will require upwards of 220 to 240 folks to run. They are a higher tech piece of equipment. And we are in Michigan, we are in the upper, above the mean in terms of working wages. We're in the, like I stated, in the higher end, just because we like our folks to be happy when they're working on the product. That would be the intent to be similar out here.
The wages for the workers. I mean, is this a highly skilled, highly paid kind of job, or is it?
It's going to be. These are machine operators, but they're also the mechanical maintenance folks, people that might have controls background. There will be professional staff as well, engineers, operations managers, plant manager, quality folks. So it is a full accompaniment of wages across the board. We will be. It'll be a substantial. It'll be a nice wage.
Yeah.
For those type
of
things.
A lot of really only one of our five commissioners represents this area, Commissioner Stewart, and the rest of us represent other areas of Lane County. And I think the community at large is interested in the size of the workforce and the structure for the wages, because so many of those workers will come. From all over the area.
Well, by comparison, Coburg is similar in cost of living to Traverse City, Michigan, where our other plant is. And we are in that starting range, it's public, so it's anywhere from a $12 to $13 an hour. These are base operators with no knowledge of how to run a machine, with steady increases upward of the 15 range. That's operators. Maintenance technicians will be higher than that.
And what about on the water side, the water going in, the water coming out? Can you give us some idea of the gallons or tons or however this is measured in or out? And I say that because, again, for those of us that represent areas outside of Coburg, we're quite mindful of the history here in terms of cost of water pollution cleanup and all that sort of thing. That the people here have to bear.
I'm gonna say it right in front. I'm gonna dodge a question with a specific number, and only because of this discussion we had last night was that we are still in the engineering phase.
Yeah.
We realize that what we do in Traverse City, by nature of the way the business is set up and the environment, is we don't need to be as efficient in our water. We have a very steady supply in and capacity going out. So here, we're very mindful. We've had a very good education on the system here. So we understand the capacity constraints, we understand the concerns clearly on the waste systems here, the well water systems, absolutely get all of that. So we are working to make sure that we design within those things, those constraints, to make sure we're delivering a business proposition here that matches up as close as we can to the systems that you have today. Be mindful and respectful of what we hope to be a good partner. That said, I think I heard it said, and it's absolutely right. If there are elements where we're going to exceed that, that's when we have to have discussions. What does that mean business-wise? and determine whether or not that's going to be, how that's going to affect the potential business development.
What does the state program, the Oregon Strategic Investment Program, what does that get you? Does it get you the property tax exemption above $25 million of investment? Is that the main draw of that program? It doesn't sound like the state is going to be providing any assistance to your company.
Well, again, going into the various programs that we're investigating, we're having discussions with state, county, and city folks to make sure that we have a good understanding of what the opportunities are, to make sure that each business proposition, we're looking at it from a competitive standpoint. Because as you can guess, we're looking at a variety of options. Each one has their own circumstances. Some might be in an economic development zone. Others might have different programs. I've noticed, and this is an education for me, that every place I go, they call it a different name. But I'm learning that there's programs. So you have to ask the right questions. So we want to make sure that with all the positives that we find with a location like Coburg, where, you know, beautiful facility, that Steve and his wife have put together, the types and quality of people that we've met here. I actually had the opportunity to go and discuss with one of the local folks that runs, I think it's cold storage. He helped bring me up to speed with the quality of the workforce here, which is very helpful for me to understand from someone that actually deals with them hand in hand. And then, you know, proximity to Apple's, all those things, we still need to have the total package as a business. And so to make sure that we have an appropriate incentive that matches up and puts you and Coburg in the best light, that's the work we're doing today.
I think most everybody here would agree that this is a phenomenal community and the workforce is quite, good relative to other areas of the United States, and it's a reason to locate here. We have a pretty strong fruit production in Oregon, but what is the reason you want to locate here in terms of apple production specifically?
Sure. I can go right back to the three key points as to why we're even out here on the West Coast. Proximity to apples. And as I said, also the organic apples, there's a higher percentage of organic crop in the Northwest than there is in Michigan and other areas like New York, stuff like that. They have it, but not the Northwest, and it's a good thing, is more mindful of organics and those types of things. So I think the last number I heard was that 56% of the apples in the United States come from the Northwest, with Yakima, Wenatchee, you folks have some in Oregon too. So it's a big, big chunk of apples for us to look at. That's very
are you going to have to get more apples from Lane County, or are you going to have to get apples from, Hood River and Medford?
All of them down the West Coast.
Okay.
I mean, it's we'll look to it's. It's a whole separate part of our business, and they don't let me play there because. but they will have discussions clearly as to where we can get the varieties of apples we need, the quality of apples we need, and then the economic proposition with each. And I know that as a business like this were to grow in an area, it gives local farmers and those folks opportunities to look at, okay, there's a potential business partner. If they put in orchards, and I think it's a 5-year period for orchards to come online from when you put in raw stock of trees. So it's an investment, but it could be something potential for the local region as well.
I think other people should ask questions.
Well, and I was just going to say, we do have some other folks in the queue. And again, I think some of the questions, I think Commissioner Sorensen were asking, you know, Oregon is a home rule state, and I think those decisions will be made here within the city of Coburg. The Coburg City Council is long working in conjunction with their staff. And so I appreciate the questions. And also, just a reminder, our work here tonight is considering the Strategic Investment Program. That's our work. And I think Mr. Lively stated it perfectly. If we were in Washington County, it would be the Board of Commissioners only making this decision. But Lane County, because of it's written the way it is, this is a county city. If the program itself, then the two are involved making this decision. So I think that's so we could maybe talk about that. I know Commissioner Farr had a question, or a couple questions. So Commissioner Farr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cholinski, correct pronunciation, mentioned that she used Grover Agritech I used to can fire back up in Junction City. It was my my first job in Lane County was canning green beans in Junction City. So we used to have a great deal of food processing in Lane County. We had green beans. Prior to that, I had a non-Louis II job picking cherries and orchards for a food processing plant. We used to have a maraschino cherry processing. It's exciting to me, personally, to consider the fact that food processing is returning in a large way to Lane County. It's a natural place for it. We can grow all kinds of stuff here. 5, 6, 7 years online for orchards is really not a long time in terms of how long your business will be here and operating here. My question for you, a little bit aside from the SIP, but more or less for that, you mentioned organics, and I know that some of your products have more than apples in them. We grow more than apples here in Lane County.
Good.
We don't grow bananas. But we do grow cherries, we do grow Marion berries. In Michigan, are you looking at local growers for products other than apples? And is that something that we could expect perhaps you would look at here in Lane County?
Yes, the short answer. Currently what we do is, because of the our processing, we are using more purees as opposed to fresh produce. The process that I would be installing here would actually use IQF, frozen fruits, which clearly, the closer to the sourcing, the better for us.
We can freeze here too. I just saw that Deb George just walked in. Pam McGeorge just walked in, and Deb is with Food for Lane County. And if you guys haven't met, you should meet. Food for Lane County is one of the finest food banks in the nation.
Great.
They work very closely with suppliers, manufacturers, and I'm sure the girls here, she lives and breathes food. And it's very exciting about bringing food processing back to Lane County. Mr. Hauser mentioned that we do have a strong food cluster. We're getting to get stronger. And with Sarah's help and with Glenda's help and Coburg's approval, I look forward to moving forward with this project.
Mayor Pudewell.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment a little bit of a follow-up on some of the comments that were made regarding some of the economic development issues. And Chuck, I really appreciate where you're coming from in terms of the issues associated with not including the public in whatever you're doing. It was clearly a lesson for all of us subsequently to have learned. So from that standpoint, I want to reassure everyone that as we go forward and as we get into the details of this over the next few months, that we will have many open discussions and opportunities for the public comment and review of what the City Council is doing. That's the way we want to do things here. Regarding the SIP specifically, one of the things that Mr. Lee brought up was that the current building is valued about $10 to $11 million. Through a quirk of past practices, including this aborted enterprise zone, the actual valuation of the land on that side, on that street, is actually, because it was an enterprise zone, is actually zero to the city when the whole thing was set up, when the URA was set up, I should say. So all of the tax base from the industrial properties over there actually goes into the Urban Renewal Agency, Urban Renewal District. So I want to reassure people that actually we're not talking about city taxes here, we're talking about URA taxes. But that's a good thing, because the URA is helping pay off our wastewater projects. So the more money we get into that, the better off we all are. In terms of the amount of money, right now, if we double that or more than double from $11 million to $25 million, we're still putting considerably more money into the URA, and that's a really good thing. The odds of another company coming in and spending more than this in this place is, we're going to have a long time working at this to get this level of investment. So I'm very comfortable with the SIP in terms of capping the taxation level at the $25 million. I think that is both a very equitable solution for the company in terms of encouraging their investment in our town and in our region and in our state, as well as providing the necessary funds to help fund the city move forward. So I'm very comfortable with that. The additional benefit I see to the SIP fund is, in fact, those additional revenue streams that Mr. Lively talked about that will actually go to the city and be able to be used as part of the general funds from a budget standpoint. And that's very important in terms of us bridging this gap between where we are now and where we see ourselves being from an economic standpoint as our investments and our infrastructure start paying off. As everyone knows, cash flow is an issue whether you're a business or a public entity, and that's a very important element for us. And so that's something that I just want to make sure that the council really thought this through and make sure that we understood that these are really significant benefits, not only to the company, but also to our community. Thank you.
Well, and the thing that, and I want to go back to John, when John Lively, his presentation, when I was mayor of the city of Springfield, we had quite a bit of experience in the enterprise zone. And 3-year, but also 5-year. We had two entities, Cementec and Friends Bakery, actually qualified for a 5-year enterprise zone. So I was really pleased understanding the SIP and that in lieu of. I think that's really key because it's the same with the enterprise zone. You get to the 5-year, you do have an in lieu of those companies who pay back. I know Cementec, there was a public safety component. I know Friends Bakery, there was a Springfield School District, as well as Willamette Lane Park and Recreation District component where that came back. So while they forego 5 years of property tax, they still paid an in lieu of back to the community and how important that was because, for instance, on the public safety side, you know, it could be a potential hit if your police department's not receiving that. But on the in lieu of actually covered quite a bit of that during that 5-year period as they received those enterprise zone tax breaks. So, but at the same time, we received the employment. And I think that's the thing we can't forget here is the employment and how important it is because that's also income tax. And is there an income tax component? Maybe this is for Mr. Fish. Is there an income tax component within the SIP?
That's the gain share component.
That's the gain. Okay, very
well,
good.
Well, yeah. Maybe perhaps you're thinking if there's any sort of incentive based on income taxes for the company, and there is none respective to strategic investment.
But
there is sort of for you.
Yes.
You get an incentive in a way, perhaps, depending upon the jobs and how long this legislation remains on the books. But yes, that's the component that has come about is the shared service fund.
And I see with the three of you here representing the state, I'm assuming this has a full support of Governor Kitzhaber.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner Stewart?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I don't have any questions. Commissioner Sorensen asked a good many of the ones that I was thinking about asking, but I wanted to say thank you for return, Mr. Jordan. I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, and just kind of understanding this opportunity, you know, it's still got a ways to go. I mean, got the engineering, then you got to make sure the infrastructure, as was said, can meet and that the numbers balance to make a business model that works for you. But, you know, the opportunity, as some of this folks, the public, spoke about, was the opportunity this could lead to in the community of expanding our presence in the food industry business. You know, cluster for the opportunity here. Or I've always thought too that you know, the best way to save our farm and forest land is to use it. So wouldn't it be neat if there's some vacant farmland that folks would like to start growing apple trees that could be sold to the company? What a great incentive that could happen. So I'm excited about the opportunity. And also I think I understand this SIP program appropriately. They're going to pay on the $25 million. Anything over that will be reduced into a shared program that the city, county, and the fire district will get to allocate on an agreement. We have a time period to do that. And then there's going to be some level of gain sharing to do too. So it's not like we're giving away any taxes. It's not like we're losing tax base. Taxes are going to be increased substantially over what they are today in the area or even what they were when the company was, Monaco was in full swing out there. There was probably no gain sharing that took place there under their wages. So to me, it sounds like in most cases a win-win and as was stated, an opportunity before us that hopefully we can support and we'll see benefits way greater than just this one company alone. So thank you.
So I'm going to ask if Commissioner Bozovich has a question, and if then if the commissioner's questions are answered, then we'll probably adjourn our portion and then turn it over to the city of Coburg. So Commissioner Bozovich.
Thank you. Just a quick question maybe to Mr. Lee out there. What was Monaco's total workforce out at this site at maximum?
I think it was close to about 4,500.
So we had 4,500 people working out there, drinking water and generating waste, and we're talking about moving to a facility that may only have 200 and some people, but it's food processing. I think when we get through with the math, there's not going to be a large difference between the two facilities, and at least the water, incoming water, the quality effluent leaving may be quite different, and that's a whole different side. The folks from Matern probably don't know my background in civil engineering, so that's why I ask questions like that. But I think that's something that we'll be looking at. But the difference between you talk about employees working out there, they generate a lot of water usage and just being there versus the processing, and you can make processing pretty lean if you want to. It's all a matter of engineering. I did a couple quick calculations. It's something I like to do. So if we just talk about the starting wage of $12 an hour and 200 and some employees, we're talking about a $5 million a year annual payroll. You take that 9% state income tax rate and the 50% kickback in the gain share, that's $225,000 a year coming back to the communities, of which 60% would come to the city of Coburg. That's about $125,000 a year just from the gain share. The current value at $11 million going to $25 million that'll be taxable is about $70,000 a year at a $5 per thousand tax rate that you guys get 60% of. Every $1 million of value they add over that is approximately $5,000 additional annual taxes, of which you guys would get $3,000. So yes, we don't lose taxes with this. This could be a significant amount of revenue for the city of Coburg to utilize. Looking at this, at least from the strategic investment program, I have no heartburn in granting the exemption of beyond the $25 million investment here. I think it's a great thing. It encourages them to sink a lot of capital here, which means they're going to be here for a long time to get the ROI on that capital. So that it's a great project. It's in a sector we're targeting right now in Lane County. Local food production. It's going to generate jobs. I bet Sherman Brothers is just licking their chops thinking about the number of trucks coming in and out of that place. It's not just their jobs. It's going to have speed in the economy, traded sector jobs, just wealth creation, far higher velocity of the dollars in the economy than any other sort of job you can talk about. This isn't, it's great, we've worked things out, we got 500 jobs coming to Junction City with the state hospital, but that's not trade sector jobs. That's just moving money from one side of the ledger to the other so much. This is actually creating wealth. It's taking something and adding value to it. All that I can say is, alle, alle, alle.
So is any of the questions by the members of the Board of Commission? And if not, like I said, we will take this up on our August 20th meeting. So that's next week. So I think at this time, the Lane County Board of Commissioners will adjourn. And then Mayor Prudwell and the Coburg City Council then will have opportunity to discuss further. So
thank you. I just have one question for either Mr. Lively or Mr. Fish. In terms of clarification process for City Council, when we're approving... If we approve this venture tonight, what we're doing is moving forward with the application. Can you clarify what the review process is for that application in terms of what Coburg's involvement would be?
Well, I mean, for this program, I would venture to say neither the city of Coburg nor Lane County have a specific application process or form or anything set up. I mean, what you're doing is accepting them and, I guess, encouraging the next step. The next step being that you have to have a SIP agreement, okay? And that agreement, that's the role that the city plays, is being party to that agreement with the county, because it's located in the city, and the company. And that's really, you're basically, I guess, inviting that agreement, that negotiation and execution to proceed, or hopefully proceed, and then after that's done, the law does require an official action by the county governing body. But the city's job is done once you've approved the agreement.
So just to clarify that then for the city council, then the process we would have going forward is there will obviously be staff people working on doing the actual negotiations, but the city council will be heavily involved and able to review that whole process. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that this is the beginning of the process, not the end of the process. So, any comments from city council? Basically, at this point, the city council is able to vote to move forward. So, if there is a motion from city council, that would be perfect.
I'd like to move that we approve the SIP application submitted by Matern Industries North America to Business Oregon.
Thank you. It's been moved by Councilor Pesch. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by, let's see, who was it? Sorry for the confusion. Seconded by Councilor Smith. Any further comment, discussion on the part of council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? It is carried. 6-0. Okay, we're going to adjourn the city council to the joint session. City council will be taking a 10-minute break.
Congratulations. Mayor?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.